Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Institute for Personal Development, Kriya Yoga Ashram, where total consciousness is the new frontier.
Kriya Yoga is union of the individual with the divine. Join us as we explore the practices to initiate this process.
Good morning. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. Let's Talk Consciousness. I am your hostess, Lisa Winton, with me, Kenny Toy, also known as Swami Jayananda, founder of the Institute for Personal Development, located here in Hampton, New Hampshire. Good morning, Swami. Thank you for being here today. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing pretty good today. How about you?
Well, I'm doing great today, too. Thanks for asking. And we want to thank you all for tuning in. Today on The Voice of Yoga, we will talk about the dawning of divine truth in consciousness as the birth of Christ or the opening of the gates to heaven. Listen as we discuss the preparatory work for being able to use the divine word become manifest. In this show, we will compare chakras to churches and match them up with personal planets along with the seven words Mary Baker Eddy uses for God. Jesus said in Matthew 3:2, and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. We are Talking Consciousness. Join the Kriya Yoga Spiritual Advance to get the light in your soul and live under the influence of spiritual awareness. Swami, I see the title of today's show is Opening the Gates of Heaven. What inspired you to use that for a title for today's show?
Yeah, we've been talking about getting the light in the soul. Because when there is light in the soul, there's beauty in the person. Beauty in the person, harmony in the home. Harmony in the home, honor in the nation. Honor in the nation, peace in the world. And John tells us in his gospel, John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. End of quote. The divine creation is right here. It's right now. And yet we look around and we see the condition of the world that we live in. It doesn't seem like it's matching up at all. And so what we have been learning is we have to educate our thought up to spiritual apprehension. We have to stop using our material senses as our mode of communication and then think differently. By stopping thinking with our material senses, we learn to activate our spiritual senses, these seven spiritual senses, seven thought windows where human thought is the same as the divine idea. And so in this show, I think it's time that we stop talking about it and then we start demonstrating it, proving it, actualizing this truth.
So let's go back to the verse John 1. I might have a few curiosities about, in particular, verse 3, all things are made by him and without him was not anything made that was made. Could you just interpret that a little differently for us so we could understand it better?
Yeah, one of the main reasons why we are not demonstrating divine law with scientific certainty is because we're not working with a principle. Divine law is found in Genesis 1, the divine creation. God makes everything, man and woman, and everything is very good. Then you come to Genesis 2. And there's this secondary creation. Now, in order to sustain a principle, you have to understand that what God didn't make wasn't made. The secondary creation, which is a mix of good and evil, it has sickness, suffering, disease, and death. This is not the divine creation. This is a mental human concept about the divine creation. And so John gives us from the onset, what God didn't make isn't made. Sickness, suffering, disease, lack, limitation is not sanctioned by divine truth. And if it's not sanctioned by divine truth, then it's not there. Now, what we're learning is you can't just say that. You must know that to be true. And in order to know that, you must be conscious of the divine creation. So the idea of opening the gates of heaven is really the idea of losing the veil, losing the false sense of existence that most of us are reacting to, because it's all we know. That's how we're socialized. And in fact, you'll be hard-pressed to find anybody today who is knowing this truth with scientific certainty. And we continue to try and figure out how the unreal became real. And so here, we want to set up a system, a way of learning divine science that you can begin to demonstrate divine law with scientific certainty.
The next verse that I had a curiosity about, still from John 1, verse 4, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. How would you interpret that?
Yeah, something that we hear all the time from Christian Science Daily Lifts. We are all the reflection of the divine. We are all made in the image and likeness of the perfection of being. Now, the thing is that we are spiritual beings, but we may not be conscious of that. And just like we said, when you get the light in the soul, there's beauty in the person, harmony in the home, honor in the nation, peace in the world. And so there's your evidence procedure. That's what we're looking for. Divine truth in consciousness must externalize perfect life. I don't believe divine truth has gone anywhere. I think what's missing is our conscious awareness of it. And so the idea of opening the gates of heaven, finding that place where human thought is the same as the divine idea, this is what I think we're all looking for.
So just to clarify, Swami, that phrase light of men, does that mean there is this divine presence in all of us? We just have to be aware of it?
Right. If you are alive, every one of us is being animated by this spiritual light. The problem is not the lack of spiritual light. The problem is not the lack of divine truth. The problem is the lack of human awareness of it. And so here we're trying to unbox the question, why? Why are we not conscious of this divine truth? Why are we not demonstrating divine law with scientific certainty?
So when we have this awareness or this consciousness of it, is that what we're talking about when we use the phrase the birth of Christ?
Exactly. Oftentimes people think the birth of Christ equals the birth of Jesus, but that's not true. Christ is an eternal principle. Christ is the Messiah, the Savior. Christ is what makes divine truth comprehensive to human consciousness. It's the saving aspect of truth. And the birth of Christ here is not something that happened 2,000 years ago in a manger. The birth of Christ is the dawning of the divine creation in human consciousness.
And that reminds me of, you know, growing up, I heard about born again Christians. So in a sense, we would be born again.
Born again in the same sense, say, for example, a baby that is living in the womb of a mother. Now all of a sudden is catapulted out of that environment into the planet Earth. The experience of going from one environment, which has become safe, familiar, comfortable, and known, into something that is completely unfamiliar. When we go from identifying with ourselves materially to identifying with ourselves spiritually, it is a very similar experience. We go from looking for food, mother, approval for validation to relying on what is invisible and intangible as our total source of sustenance. And in order to do that, the physics of spirituality must be in place. Like attracts like. That's why we must put off the belief in matter, mortality, because spirit is eternal, changeless. As we start to educate our thought up to spiritual apprehension, that's what this show should be all about, is having what Mary Baker Eddy suggested, a proper sense of the infinite. You can't put an infinite mind in a finite mortal body. So we have to come out of the belief in being a finite mortal body into an infinite spiritual body, and then, of course, have access to a mind that thinks in a completely different medium. Your five-sense corporeal sense mind thinks in division, polarity, it thinks in duality, works on contrast, where divine mind works in wholeness, the absolute. And so everything that is required of us is what we want to talk about here.
There's a story in the Bible when Jesus meets Nathanael. Can you review that with us?
Yeah, that's in the Gospel of John. Jesus tells Nathanael, he saw him under the olive tree when they first met. And Nathanael tells Jesus, "You are the Son of God." And then Jesus says something to the effect, "You will see more than this." This is just a little mental telepathy. "You will see the gates of heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending." And so here we really want to start to understand that the opening of the gates of heaven or the birth of Christ in your consciousness is not something that you're going to have to wait for this to happen to you. I have something here from a woman named Helen Wright. She wrote in a book called Humanity's Divinity, and I'll read it. "When we stand for the spiritual facts about health, wholeness, harmony, and the argument comes that there is no evidence of health and wholeness, our work must be to stand more firmly in the spiritual facts, the truth. We must cast out fear, mustering the courage to think and feel. None of these errors move me. We don't have to make ourselves perfect. We already are. We don't have to make error unreal. It already is. Prayer, as Mrs. Eddy interprets it, is just the revelation of the omnipresence of present perfection, the revelation of the perfection that has always existed. When we experience a healing in Christian Science, it is a revelation of truth. It proves that heaven is here. Reality must be here, or you could not experience it. All that we misinterpret as material substance and form is here, but not as matter. It exists as eternal good, immutable spirit. We only need to learn to view it correctly, as Mrs. Eddy taught a student whom she thanked profusely for a service. The student said, "Don't thank me, thank God." With a smile, Mrs. Eddy replied, "I didn't know there was any difference." End of quote. Starting with a belief in the divine creation and a disbelief in everything that is appearing in your material senses and lifting yourself into spiritual identity. Spirit is one. It's whole. It's complete. Spirit has no needs. There is never anything that is added to it or taken away from it. It rests in perfect divine unity. There's no conflict or contrast in spirit. There is only one perfect divine life. And when we know this to be true, it lifts us out of the belief in the many, the belief in the two powers, the divided consciousness, the false sense of existence.
We're going to pause right here to hear a word from our sponsors or listeners. We'll be back with you in just a few moments.
Kriya Yoga Theory 1, Human Development and the 8 Essential Stages of Kriya Yoga. This program is a comprehensive course that will help you get your arms around the science of Kriya Yoga. It provides a clear understanding of the goals and objectives behind yoga, along with the physics of spirituality. It includes the practices, supportive concepts of Kriya Yoga, and the process in human development, apotheosis, the process of the human becoming divine. A complete guide on how to become a human in the adult state. Get the light in your soul and experience the simplicity and joy of union with the divine. This course is available in live classes at the ashram or online with 8 videos or 4 CDs. Visit our website, www.ipdtransform.com, for more information.
Welcome back. For those who are just joining us, you're listening to The Voice of Yoga, and we are talking consciousness. So, I mean, back in the summary, we stated that we were going to discuss the preparatory work for being able to see the divine word become manifest. And we were going to compare chakras to churches and match them up with the personal planets along with the 7 words Mary Baker Eddy has for God. Can you get us started with that?
Yeah, here we're using the diagram that we use for the logo for Institute for Personal Development. We use it as a schematic for the infinite. I have a quote from Mary Baker Eddy, and I'll read it. "Mortals must gravitate Godward. Their affection and aims grow spiritual. They must near the broader interpretations of being and gain some proper sense of the infinite in order that sin and mortality may be put off." End of quote. That's from Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures, page 265-5. In the spiritual science of Kriya Yoga, we use 7 chakras. We cross-reference these 7 chakras with the 7 churches you'll find in Revelations in the Bible, and also include the 7 personal planets in astrology, and the 7 words Mary Baker Eddy used to help us understand God. Now, to substantiate why I use this diagram, because when in astrology you put what's called the fixed signs on the angles, Scorpio on the cusp of the first house, Aquarius on the cusp of the 4th house, Taurus on the cusp of the 7th house, and Leo on the cusp of the 10th house. The symbolism of those 4 angles were found in the man, the bull, the lion, and the eagle. The Sphinx in Egypt was the head of the man, the body of the bull, the paws of the lion, the wings of the phoenix, which was the original symbol for Scorpio. The 4 evangelists in Christianity were symbolized by the man, the bull, the lion, and the eagle. In Revelations in the Bible, John makes direct reference to those 4 images. As you set up the zodiac in that fashion, what you'll find is that the planets that are associated with the chakras in Kriya Yoga are in alignment with the signs they rule. So if you start at the root center, Muladhara Chakra, Saturn rules Capricorn and Aquarius. You move up to Jupiter, Svadhisthana Chakra. The navel center, Jupiter rules Sagittarius and Pisces. You move up to Mars, Manipuraka Chakra, the solar plexus center. Mars rules Aries and Scorpio. You move up to the next chakra, Anahata, Venus, the heart center. Venus rules Taurus and Libra. You move up to the next chakra, Vishuddha chakra, Mercury, the throat center. Mercury rules Gemini and Virgo. You go up to the third eye center, Ajna chakra in yoga. The moon rules Cancer and the sun rules Leo. So when you set the zodiac up with the fixed signs on the angles, it is a seamless, perfect fit. As you diagram that and you work with the image of the human, make that relationship between what is seemingly a personal physical body with this universal concept that expands identity into the zodiac, you have this larger sense of self. Now, even though it is still a mental image, it gets you out of a personal sense of self into one body for all humanity. When you're talking about preparatory work, say, for example, if somebody came and they wanted to learn how to play the piano, on a very simplistic level, you could tell them, playing the piano is very simple. you hit the right key at the right time for the right amount of time, and you mastered playing the piano. Well, that's an oversimplification. When Mary Baker Eddy says a proper sense of the infinite, now we have to open this up. To play the piano, you have to know all 88 keys. In metaphysics, you need to know yourself in the way that you're created, which means that you're going to need this larger sense of self beyond your physical form. Probably one of the most missing ingredients I find today is very few people have made this cross connection. The cross reference here is to use the churches in Revelations. And I really like the way that John introduces it. To the angel of the church of Ephesus, write. That's enormous instruction right there. When you talk about, well, how do I open the gates of heaven? He's telling us right there. First of all, church means Lord's house. The word house in the Bible always refers to consciousness. So divine consciousness, the angel of the church, just like when Jesus says to Nathanael, you will see the angels of God ascending and descending. You will see the word of God, the divine idea. You're not just going to see the mental material concept, but you are going to see the truth of being. And to further understand this, you have to understand what is meant by writing. Writing in the Bible was the joining of truth with spirit, joining of spiritual substance with divine will. Now, you don't get to truth and spirit without the transfiguration, without Jesus taking James, Peter, and John to the mountaintop. So there's preparatory work here that must be in place. But for today, I'd like to just stay with learning the keys of the piano, learning the chakras and the churches. So we'll start with Muladhara Chakra, Saturn at the root center. The church is going to be Ephesus. Mary Baker Eddy's word for this chakra, I would assign principle, because remember, Jesus, which is the manifestation of the Christ, takes James, Peter, and John to the mountaintop. So we start with the Christ, and the Christ for me would be principle. Now, the major obstruction to that church or chakra is going to be time, the idea of now and then. You move up to the navel center, Jupiter, Svadhisthana Chakra in yoga. The church is Smyrna. The Mary Baker Eddy word is soul. The obstruction is space, here and there. The next chakra, which is the planet Mars, is Manipuraka in yoga. The church is Pergamos. The Mary Baker Eddy word is life. The obstruction is form or concept. You move up to the next thought window, Venus. Anahata Chakra in yoga. The church in Revelation is Thyatira. The Mary Baker Eddy word is love. The obstruction is matter or belief. The next one up is Mercury, the throat center. Vishuddha Chakra in yoga. The church is Sardis. The Mary Baker Eddy word is mind. The obstruction is movement or thinking. You move up the sixth chakra, which is symbolized by the sun, moon. This is an interesting one because it really opens up for me here. Ajna Chakra, the sun, moon center, the third eye center. The church is Philadelphia. The Mary Baker Eddy word is truth. The obstruction is human will or animal magnetism. Where there's a little bit of a difference here, in Kriya Yoga, third eye center, sun, moon, would be considered the sixth chakra. But the masculine side of sun, moon, center is Leo, which is symbolized by the sun. The church in Revelations would be Laodicea. The Mary Baker Eddy word would be spirit, and the obstruction would be personal sense or ego. Now, one of the things that I've always noticed is Hatha Yoga means sun-moon union. The sun and the moon, in the symbolism here using Mary Baker Eddy words, is the moon would be truth and the sun would be spirit. And so the idea of to the angel of the church, right, would be the union of truth and spirit. Spirit with the will of the Father, divine will. And so a big part of opening the gates of heaven is really to the angel of the church, to the divine idea of these energy centers are found in yoga, what we call the astral body. We understand the physical body as what is visible and tangible to personal sense. But your astral body, up to the planet Saturn, the idea of mind in yoga is not limited to brain, like it is in Western medicine. The idea of mind is up to Saturn. We can see the planets with our naked eye up to Saturn. So a big part of expanding identity out of physical limitations into an astral mental body becomes a stepping stone. It becomes the base camp for this final spiritual climb. We go from astral awareness to spiritual identity.
Swami, that was a lot of great information. So how would we use that? You know, you mentioned the analogy of playing the piano. So how do we play with this information you just gave us?
Well, again, playing the piano, practice makes perfect only when practice is perfect. So if you start by knowing yourself in the way that you are created, if you have this astral image of yourself, like in the practice of Kriya Yoga, we use a labyrinth. We use exercises that have this association built into them. When we do salutation to the moon and salutation to the sun, we are attuning the mind-body complex to the infinite spiritual body, the body of Christ. In doing that, we're no longer trying to pull energy into a physical body because it's not there. We're lifting our identity from a finite mortal concept into this larger astral image. So in other words, in yoga physiology, Aries is your muscular system. Taurus is your urinary system. Gemini is your respiratory system. Cancer is your digestive system. So for each one of the signs of the zodiac, there is a system that makes up this physical concept, this physical appearance. But as you're lifting it from the finite image on the mat into the mental image that is in the zodiac, you are rising. You're lifting your sense of self off of the mat into a proper sense of the infinite. You're educating your thought up to spiritual apprehension.
So, I mean, the verse that we have in the opening from Matthew 3:2, and I quote, "And saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand," end of quote. How does that relate to what we're talking about today?
Well, what we're saying is stop waiting. Stop waiting to die. Stop waiting for the second coming of Jesus. The kingdom of heaven is right here. It's right now, but we have to repent. And the word repent means think differently. Stop thinking with your material senses and start knowing with your spiritual senses.
Well, we're going to close down our show for today, so listeners, be sure to visit the website, www.ipdtransform.com. On the homepage, you see the Fading Banner Blog Talk Radio. Click it, directs you to its catalog page. Clicking the Products tab, Online Classes, directs you all the classes that Swami has available. So, Swami, any final thoughts about today's program?
Well, I would like to encourage people to join the Kriya Yoga Spiritual Advance to get the light in your soul and live under the influence of spiritual awareness. Namaste.
Thank you for listening to our program, The Voice of Yoga. I'm Lisa Winton, with me, Kenny Toy, signing off. Have a wonderful yoga kind of day. Namaste.